Anyway, tonight, take your Bibles to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. And if you'd stand with me, if you're able tonight, we're just going to read the first 18 verses. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 1 says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called the elders of Israel for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And he went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and all the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them, and of the vineyards and of the oliveyards which ye planted, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. God, thank you for those songs that just honor you and truly how great you are. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. And tonight, Lord, I pray that we'd honor you in the preaching of your word. And Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight, and I pray that you would help us to glean that which you'd have for us, that we might be different, leave here different than when we came in the doors this evening. We pray now in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, realizing, tonight is... You have finished out the year in the house of God. This is the last service of 2022. This is our we're We're just a couple more days. I mean, if you count this day as already being over, we just have three more days, and we're done. And then we look at a new year. Now, I love this time of year. I love as we finish a year. I think with a new year, it's this opportunity to have a clean slate to start all over. And I don't know why we do that with the years, but man, January 1st, that's like a new year loaded with possibilities and opportunities. And we can take, what I like to do is I like to take stock of where I'm and look back at the last 12 months and to see where God has brought me, to see what God has worked and kind of, look at where I have been in these last years. And then with that, then I look ahead of where I would like to be, Lord willing, this coming year. And many times this is the time of year people make resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Now, I know there are people who have different opinions about resolutions. Some people hate them. Some people like them. Really, a resolution is just something that we resolve to do. And to resolve just simply means I've made a firm decision about something. We sing that song, I am resolved no longer to linger. I had a church, there was a church that I knew of, the song leader there. He didn't like that word resolve because, it's resolutions and we break those. And so he changed that word. But that's a good word. It just means I've decided. I've made some commitment and I've decided to be firm about that commitment. And so a resolution is just simply something I've decided to do. And, one of the reasons that people don't like them is just because, they don't last long. People make resolutions in January. We make a resolution to go to the gym. And I don't know, Pastor just the other day was mentioning about how it'll be the first part of the year. All those people that have resolved to go to the gym, they're going to take his treadmill and take the space and they're going to fill up the gym. But by February, if you just hang in there, by February or so, it'll clear back out. And a lot of people just they don't follow through with those. And so some people hate it because, that's just, we don't keep it. But I honestly think even if you break them, the fact that you made a resolution, the fact that you've decided, the fact that you've committed is saying, hey, there's something, there's an area I need to improve on. There's an area that, I need to work on in my life. And so just the fact of even recognizing that, when I make a resolution, I'm saying, I'm saying, what is it that I can do better in my, whether it's physical, whether it's mentally, in just, educating myself better, or whether it's at home, what are some things that I could improve at home, maybe in my work situation, maybe spiritually, what can I do to walk with the Lord in a greater way? And then I make that decision, and then I have to put feet to that to make it happen. Just the decision alone, is we've got to decide. But then having that alone, having that good intention without follow through is worthless. So I've got to find a plan to make that work. And so here in Joshua, we come to a place where now Joshua is nearing the end of his life. He is called the elders and those in charge, the leaders of the Israel there, and he's called them together. And at first, now he starts out in the first part of the chapter. He starts looking back. He says, "Hey, let's look and look what God has done in our life. Look what God has done with us as a nation." First of all, he recounts God's call of Abraham in verse 2 and 3 there. He talks about how that God, on the other side of the flood, that was the other side of the flood when after, the flood came and Noah and his three sons, you know, were saved through the ark. And then as they now repopulated the earth, that's what he's talking about. On that other side of the flood, there was now, then we see in Genesis chapter 12, where God calls out Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He calls him out of there, and he rehearses that to them. He recounts God's call of Abraham. And then in verse number 4-7 there, how he reminds them of their time in Egypt. He talks about how God called out Abraham. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau was claimed in Mount Seir in that area. And then he has Jacob, and through Jacob, he brought them down into Egypt. And he takes some time recounting what God did there with Israel and with the children of Israel, and through the persecution and through that time and the calling of Moses, and how God wrought a great deliverance to them and with them. He reminds them of that. And how he delivered them from Pharaoh and destroyed Pharaoh's chariots and all the horsemen as they crossed the Red Sea. And then he rehearses the victories that God gave them. On the other side of Jordan, where the Amorites there and the Midianites there has where God gave them victories over there. And then he talks about as they cross that Jordan River, and then they had the victories in the land of Canaan. And God says, hey, and man, you had those victories. And by the way, he says, by the way, just let me remind you, I did that. I like the part where he said he sent the hornets ahead of them. He said, and he said, I won't do it all at one time. He says, but little by little, he'd sent the hornets. And so God says, you didn't even have to conquer them with, it wasn't with your sword. It wasn't with your bow. It wasn't by your means. It was, I want you to know that I did that. So he rehearses that, where they've come from. And then he does that. That's what brings us down to verse 13. Then he says, now that's where we were, and that's what God has done for us. And man, throughout that time, there were some, it wasn't all roses and just great. There were some challenges. There were times even in Egypt where they, you know, after Moses first complained or first went to Pharaoh, then they, you know, and then Pharaoh made it harder. Then they complained, said, well, Moses, you've just made it harder. And then after God did deliver them out in the wilderness, you know, they're complaining a lot. And so it wasn't all just rosy and just a great time, but there were difficulties. There were victories as well as defeats. And he recounts that as they look back. But now he says, here's where we are. He says, now you're at a point of decision. Looking into the future, what you decide right now, he says, that'll affect where you are in the future. And so he challenges the people to decide who they're going to serve. Look in verse 14. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So he talks about the gods that Abraham's forefathers served, the Chaldean gods, and those gods that he says, you could choose to serve them, but they didn't do them any good. He says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. So he says, you can serve those gods that were over there. You can serve the gods in the land that we are in. He says, or you could serve the Lord God. Now notice the choice is not if you're going to serve, because they're going to serve somebody. And in our life, hey, we're going to serve somebody. If we don't serve the Lord, we'll serve self, we'll serve the world, we'll serve the devil. But the choice is not if you will serve, but choose whom you will serve. And they had to make a choice. And then they decide, hey, we're going to serve the Lord. Good choice, Israel. Good choice. They decide they're going to serve the Lord. Look in verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. They said, hey, we've seen the faithfulness of God. We've seen what God has done. There's no option, really. I mean, we're going to serve God. We've seen what he's done. But then, now they've made that decision. They've come to that place of decision. But then now God lays out some things here. If you are going to do that, it's going to require some things of you. And so look in verse number 23 and 24. And it says, let me get my place here. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So they said, hey, we've decided to serve the Lord. Okay, he said, then it's going to call for some things. Hey, you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll, you know, and he says, so if you're going to serve God, you've got to put away those things, those idols and those other things, and you've got to obey him. He says, you know, they said, it's him. You've got to incline your heart unto the Lord. And it says, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. It takes obedience to follow through on that decision of serving the Lord. So this, as they look back at what God's done, and they're now at a point of decision, and again, this decision is going to impact, it's going to have an effect on their future. And really, just like the children of Israel, we're at this juncture. We're at the end of 2022. And man, you can look back, and I know some of you, you know, we can look back for some, it's been a rough year. Some, it's been just some ups and downs. I mean, there's some that, man, it's like when God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and changed his life. Hey, there's some of you, this year was a year that, man, you were brought from darkness into light. You went from, as Romans 6 says, from being a servant of sin to be a servant of righteousness. And God has changed your life this last year. You've seen some victories, but we've seen some hardships too, some heartaches. And we can look back, but through all that, we can say, hey, God's been faithful. God's been good. God's just done some wonderful things. I look back we're not quite there a year, but I mean, this time last year, I had no idea that in a month I'd get a text saying, hey, would you consider coming out and being on staff? No idea. But man, this last year has been, it's been a challenge. It's been a blessing. You're learning and you're doing, you know, and moving halfway across the country. But listen, I can tell you through it all, God's just been good. He's been faithful. And now, so we're just like that. Now, as we look back, we can see that. But now, as we are looking ahead, we look to this new year. Should the Lord tarry his coming, we've got, man, starting Sunday, we're starting a new year, new possibilities. And can I tell you, the decisions you make in the next several days can lay, dictate to a large extent the direction you're going to go this next year. If you know, if I want to improve, then I've got to resolve. I've got to decide to do some things differently. I know with me, there's some things as I look, there's some things physically that God's laid on my heart that we're working on. And so my hope is by this time next year, you'll be seeing less of me. All right. Not because I'm not here anymore, but there'll be less of me. All right. So, and there's some things family-wise, and there's some things, but there are some things spiritual-wise that I think if we'll take and say, okay, let's look at our life. Let's honestly take an inspection of where I am. Where are these areas that I can grow in? What are some things I can do to purpose that come this time next year, I will have some victories. I'll be better. I'll be better in these areas than I was at the beginning of the year. And so tonight, we have just a few minutes left. Let me give you just some things that are you can find all kinds of physical goals and things like that and different things. But I want to just take the last couple minutes, give you a few maybe ideas for some spiritual goals that we can have that would help us, that if we purpose to do that in your life, I will tell you, not only individually will your life be wonderfully changed, but if we do that as a church, this church would be radically different. And number one, first of all, a good resolution or a good decision is to decide to read your Bible through in the year. Now, asking if, is there anybody, just have you raise your hand, but we won't do that. But if you've read your Bible through on a regular basis, there's a benefit of just reading through. Just getting the whole picture and just every day have some time in the Word of God. There are just in reading, there are just nuggets of jewel on the surface that you could just glean just by reading and as you do that. But Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. If I'm going to obey this word, I've got to know it. And I will tell you, you'd be amazed how many Christians have never read all the way through the Bible. Not once. Maybe we've read a lot, and I've read this book, or I've read that, and I've read some here, but man, if you've never done that, can I challenge you here to say, hey, I'm going to resolve, I'm going to decide to read God's word through in this year. And basically, to do that, simply you just find a plan. There's all kinds of plans. You can do search online. You can do it by so many chapters. I think if you do about 4 chapters a day, you'll read the Bible through in a year. But there's different kinds of plans of doing that. But you need to find a plan, and then you need to make that time a priority. That's where you resolve, say, hey, this is something that I need to do. I need to spend more time in the Word of God, but I need to make it a priority. The reason our resolutions fall through a lot of times is they're not a priority. And you find a plan and you make it a priority, whether it's in the morning, whether it's an appointment that is unbreakable. This is my time with God, and it's vital. So number one, decide to read the Bible through. Number two, decide to memorize Scripture. I think in memorizing the Word of God is one of the things that it's really not as difficult as we want it to be, think it is. But man, there's such a benefit of memorizing and hiding God's word in your heart. The Bible says, thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Can I tell you, there's just a benefit of having God's word in your heart and just where God, you know, through your day, and man, you're having trouble with your thought life, and God brings up, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. Oh, Lord, okay. And, you know, or, you know, where he talks about it, ruling, you know, a man that hath no rule over his own spirit. And you know, you talk, you when I tend to get angry, then I can, you know, God brings back the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And, you know, and it's just having that word of God in there, and just, but it's hidden in my heart. It's, I've memorized it. And memory, it's just, the key is repetition. At our Christmas program that we did with the drama group, our drama team, you know, I think it's an amazing thing. All of those, they memorized their script. They had a script. Brother Keith had, he had the biggest part of all, the angel. He had 3 pages of script that he memorized. Brother Keith, how did you do that? It's just going over it. And he did that just, I mean, really in probably like 6 weeks, maybe, or more, I don't know about, but just going over it. And you know, and if we could do that for a script, for a play, for a program, how much greater to do that with the word of God in our heart. Maybe that's a decision you want to do, is decide to memorize scripture. Take some topic, take something that whether it, maybe it's the Romans Road, or maybe it's a topic of something that you struggle with, whether it's anger or lust, or and get some scriptures and start hiding them in your heart. Maybe decide to pray better. To pray better, maybe more consistently. You know, David Gibbs with the Christian Law Association listened to a message of his a long time ago, and he talked about having a prayer list. And matter of fact, when people come in to work for him at the law offices, he'll talk and he'll say, let me see your prayer list. And it's just, you know, many times we'll pray. Man, I've done it. And you pray and you think, man, that's been so long. You're praying everything that you can think of. And you look, you go, well, that was only like 5 minutes. But man, once you start having a prayer list, I mean, there on my, I have on my prayer list, I have my every family member, and I have needs specific to my wife. I have needs specific for my each child. Then different ministries that I'm involved in. I mean, there's just, as you start going and you have a list, you know what I find? That sometimes an hour's not enough to. Because now I'm starting to go and intercede. But also you could be listen for needs as we have our prayer time, and we have a need, maybe we write that down. But maybe purpose this year, hey, I'm gonna be a better prayer warrior. I'm gonna pray better. I'm gonna give out more tracts, or I'm gonna be faithful to church. You know, but you've got to do that. You've got to purpose, and then you've got to say, okay, here's how I'm going to make this happen. If I'm going to be faithful to church, then listen, there's going to be things come up through the year that you're going to have to go, man, I would like to do that, or but no, I've purposed to be in church. That means there's some things that if you're in church, there's some other thing you can't do. All the other things, you can't do them because you're in church. And that would be a great resolve, a great decision to make. But listen, tonight, the challenge is this. As we look back, we end this year, how did you do last year? I mean, you're looking back and honestly say, hey, did I walk with God? How was my walk with God? How did I do with my family? How did I do with the relationships God's brought into my life? Is there room for growth? Is there room for some improvement? Hey, if I want to serve the Lord, hey, there's always room to grow in that area. And if I'm going to serve him the best that I can, I need to do it deliberately. and on purpose. You remember, a resolution is just simply a firm decision. I've decided I'm going to serve the Lord. And if you are going to grow in the Lord this next year, it'll only be because we've decided to grow. See, spiritual growth, it doesn't happen accidentally. It happens on purpose. So I'd ask you tonight, as we look back on the past and see the blessings of God, look into the future by the Lord's grace and with His will. Hey, what is it that you're resolved to do? What have you decided to do to serve the Lord?